November 1st, Dog Day. International Dog Day? I don't know. It's Dog Day in Japan. I didn't do my research. I didn't do my research on this because Dog Day would be one of those days that I do not consider significant in any way. This is coming from someone who has forgotten their own birthday more than once in their life. So days don't mean much to me. I like special days. They're not special. Just every day is special. Every day with you is special. Anyways, November 1st is Dog Day. To celebrate this, a small town decided we're going to make a dog mayor. So a golden retriever was made mayor for a day. A five-year-old public relations dog. A five-year-old public relations. This is why I could never do actual news. I couldn't actually get through it without stumbling. A five-year-old public relations. Fuck. A five-year-old public. A five-year-old public relations dog. A five-year-old public relations dog for Kansai Guide Dogs was made mayor of Kaneoka. There was an award ceremony. They took the dog around sort of the city hall. They took some pictures. But what they did not take into account was the Airbud rule, because if it's not in the rule books, then it can be done. We've learned this from the entire Airbudiverse, where we have the Airbud series itself, where he plays basketball, football, several other sports that I don't recall. There is an extended universe of movies where it's like Air Bud puppies. So we know that it can be done because we have seen it done by dogs many times. This dog then declared himself mayor in perpetuity so that no one could ever take the position after him. This dog then seceded that city from Japan, and it is now an independent nation ruled by dogs. The new prime minister in Japan, Ishiba. He is getting some flack. He hasn't really done anything yet. He hasn't had a chance to really mess up anything politically, but he now is being scrutinized and watched. And that in itself is kind of a problem, because what's happening now is people are noticing he has really bad manners. He's a very rude man, and he's very crass. Not in any sort of the way he speaks or anything vocalized, but just his general... Okay, the first one, every Japanese politician's an old dude. Fine. They're old. It means they fall asleep, though. And they fell asleep while they were discussing whether or not he would become prime minister. He seems to have fallen asleep. He said in that instance, it was because of cold medicine he'd taken. It made him very sleepy. Then he went to the APEC summit. And instead of standing to greet other world leaders, he just sat in his chair. The world leaders came over to him. He shook their hand, but he didn't stand up, which would be considered to be polite. These are other world leaders. These are other very important people. He was sitting there with, like, he's the important guy. Everyone has to come over to him. He was doing this something very similar. He was watching a dance. Now, these are performances. It might not be your thing. Like, I get that. He was sitting with his arm crossed, looking very displeased, looking very bored at this like dance performance for, you know, world leaders, where you do have to fake interest. You have to feign, pretend that you actually care about the thing you're watching, these cultural events. Like, I would be exhausted by that part. The actual politics part, maybe I could handle, but the like, hey, go smile and shake hands and put on a show. That would be the bit that would be exhausting for me. So I think I understand where this guy's coming from. The problem is, as prime minister, it is part of your job. You have to pretend to be interested in the cultural event, the dance, whatever you're seeing, whatever's being presented to you, just to show sort of you're thankful for the effort that's gone into it more than anything else. The last one, though, is probably the most unforgivable one. He took an onigiri, for the listeners who don't know, is a rice ball. They're usually triangular shaped, but it's called a rice ball. I am a 6-foot man with a fairly large mouth. And for me, a rice ball is 3 bites. Now, those are pretty big bites, but it's not with like difficulty that I'm eating. I'll bite it, chew, swallow, bite, chew, swallow, bite, chew, swallow. That would be a whole onigiri. Mr. Ishiba, he undid the plastic from an onigiri and then shoved the whole thing in his mouth. And then so his lips protruded as he tried to hold the whole onigiri in his mouth as he was chewing, making enough space in the inner part of his mouth to then sort of pull in the rice from the front part of his face, making him look like he was a camel chewing or something like that. And a lot of people found it really gross, probably because it is. So I think the interesting part going forward is our new prime minister in Japan going to make good political decisions that overshadow his crass nature, or is his crass nature going to overshadow his political decisions? Yasukuni Shrine was graffitied. I think we actually reported this last time. They were looking for a young man who did it. They've put out an arrest warrant. So this is pretty serious because they're now out actively looking for the guy, but it's pretty clear that he's actually already left the country. So I think The reasoning for this is that they put out their arrest warrant so that he can't come back to Japan. Because if you enter Japan on your passport, you'll get flagged as having an active arrest warrant, and then they'll arrest you right there. So really, I don't think they're looking for him the way the article sort of implies. I think what's actually happening is, like, he's gone, we'll just make sure he doesn't come back, then we don't have that problem anymore. It was kind of similar with the Johnny Somali thing, where they arrested him, they held him, they got him out of the country. It's now a travel ban. He's not allowed back in the country. So they don't actually have to deal with him and his problems that come with him ever again. The reason that I found this interesting is I learned two things. One, they referred to the youth as in his tens, not teens. So that would imply he's either 10, 11, or 12 years old. He had come to Japan on a trip with his mother, and his mother had taken him out of the country. So there's a big question is whether the mother actually knows that her child went and did this graffiti on this, again, very politically controversial internationally site, but it is still a religious site. So is it acceptable to vandalize that? Is it an acceptable way to express your political views? I actually think this might just be a copycat. I think he saw the internet stuff that the guy who came before, Iron Dong, and he wrote toilet on it, and he wrote some stuff on it, and then he escaped. I think this kid probably saw the same things, like, I'm going to do that because that guy's on the internet, he's cool, and therefore, again, being in his tens, he thinks I should do the cool thing as well. So I actually think this is more of a copycat crime than a crime in itself. I don't know if that lowers or increases the damage done. There's an interesting thing. Like, if I'm doing a copycat, is it like a lower level of responsibility or more? Like, I've seen it, I've seen the results, so I know exactly what I'm doing. Or is it I'm being influenced by someone negative and that has changed how I behave? Do I take more or less responsibility for the action? It would be an interesting topic to examine. What he wrote was toilet, which is, again, why I think this is a copycat. Writing the same word as the person previous to you shows that you knew what the previous person wrote, which shows that you were sort of invested in this story. But also wrote SB. This is the other bit I found that was interesting. So something I learned. In Chinese internet slang, SB means stupid. So he wrote toilet and stupid, very much like a 10, 11, 12-year-old thing to write. This is damaging property, disrespecting a place of worship. He posted pictures of himself with the already graffitied wall behind him, thus making him more clearly culpable for the actions, making him more apparently guilty. But it is already known he's left Japan. So I think really the arrest warrant was put out just so that this kid and his family probably wouldn't be allowed back in Japan in the future. A 56-year-old woman was arrested for stealing 74 million yen in cash from her 84-year-old boyfriend's second house. There are so many things going on in that just initial sentence. That's the initial statement as to what's actually happening. 56 and 84? It'd be interesting to see if that's like a real relationship. But I think if you're stealing from your boyfriend, you're not with your boyfriend because you love him. I think you're with your boyfriend because he has money. If he has 74 million yen in cash in his second house, that's a dude who has a lot of money. I think it was last week I kind of broke down a little bit because I'm poor. Compared to some of the numbers we talk about and these people just wasting money, it was like an investment scheme thing. And I'm like, if she had just given me some of that money, my life would be changed forever versus she's just throwing that money away on a scam. I do have another thing of, it's the classic of, why are Japanese people still keeping cash in the house? Like, you don't get any interest in the bank, but at least the money's there and it's insured. You're not going to really lose the money. There's something going on there that I would like to understand better. Why are they so averse to keeping cash in the bank? Why do they keep so much cash in their houses? Because your house burns down, you don't get that money back. That money's, I don't think it's insured properly. I don't know if you'd be able to prove that you had that much cash in your house if there was an incident in your house. She broke into the house at least twice, but it sounds like it was 12:30 one day and 1 p.m. the next day. So breaking in the afternoon, it makes it sound like she had a key, but she didn't. She actually had to break a window. So she was actually full-on breaking into his second house. A security camera outside of the house got her on breaking into the house, so they know it was her. When she was arrested, she said, I stole some money, but I didn't steal that much, which would be very interesting. Because what if this gentleman knows his girlfriend is stealing from him, so he sets it up so that he can catch her. And then when he catches her, he says she stole way, way more money than she actually stole to kind of screw her back, because she might actually have to pay back that money in the future. It would certainly increase the punishment she would get if it was 74 million yen versus 1 million yen. The man found a broken window and told police she knew where the money was kept. After the robbery, she bought a house with cash. So I think that shows just how much money she actually stole. So she says, I stole money, but I didn't steal 74 million yen. But she stole enough money that she was perfectly comfortable going and buying a house in cash. I don't know how much a house goes for in Japan. I actually have a house, but I've had a mortgage for so long. I forget what our initial payment was, and I forget how much we're paying overall. To be honest, I pay my monthly mortgage payment. I got about 6 more years on that, and then I actually own a house. Again, 74 million yen. Total change in my whole lifestyle right there. But it's enough money to go and purchase a house, and I assume have extra money left over in cash. 4,472 people nationwide were arrested for what is called dark or black part-time jobs. These are internet forums where you go on and you basically apply for a job, but the job is going to be doing something illegal. So it's going to be some sort of fraud. It's going to be theft. It's going to be some kind of crime you're going to be involved in. The idea is very interesting because Japan in the past has been plagued by organized crime, the Yakuza syndicates and whatnot. But organized crime means it's organized, which means it's easy to figure a lot of stuff out. Like you can connect people together. And then they have individual crimes where it's, I committed a crime by myself and therefore I'm getting punished and there's no one else really I have to worry about. These are disconnected people coming together to commit a crime and then disconnecting again, which means over 3 or 4 crimes, I might have involvement in one, someone else has involvement with 1 or 2, but we're not actually connected in any real way. So it's very hard to put us all together. It actually makes investigating a lot of these crimes more difficult. Each person is assigned a role for each crime. There is no connection and no solid MO for the crimes, which again makes it more difficult for police to trace. We do have a breakdown of the crimes that occurred last year. 1,515 were money fraud bank transfers. So that's probably sagi. It's probably when they call you up and say, oh my God, I'm in trouble. Please send me money. And then you try to get an older person who like panics thinking like one of their children or grandchildren is in trouble and they send money without thinking about it. That's a very common crime in Japan. Or just trying to get people to send you money. Again, last week we were talking about money fraud, scams and crime investments, fraud and things like that. There's a lot of money transfer fraud going on there. 1,284 was just straight up fraud. So that might be coming to your house and lying to you, but other ways of committing fraud, not just directly connected to transferring money through the bank. 427 were arrested for drugs, 398 for theft. So there's actually, I look at these numbers and there's of course 1,400, 500, that's a lot of people. But then I look at other countries and how many crimes are committed. I'm like, that's actually not that many people. Then we get into the smaller, more interesting ones. 89 arrests for immigration law. So I don't know if that is like importing people or helping people get around laws. It's very unclear. I'm actually betting that's just overstaying your visa now that I think about it. That's probably the most common one in Japan. 76 were arrested for adult entertainment. 57 were arrested for extortion. 49 were arrested for gambling. So gambling is very, very legislated in Japan. Casinos essentially are illegal, but they're trying to find ways around it or only do it in certain places and stuff. They see the possibility of having casinos, but they're very worried about organized crime moving in. But now if you have this disorganized crime moving in, that actually might end up being a bigger problem. Because the police are stuck in this situation where what you do if you have organized crime, you arrest someone and you try to work your way up the ladder making arrests. In this, you can't do that. You arrest someone, he doesn't know anyone up the ladder. There is no ladder to work up. So it's causing police a lot of problems. And it seems like a growing issue in Japan. They actually have disorganized, organized gangs who move around and then they like connect with each other and then disconnect and then go to another city and then connect with other people through these job sites. That's how they're organizing their criminal practices. We actually talked about this, but it didn't have a name yet. Or at least I didn't know the name. I'm sure it had a name already, but it was called touchless harassment. We talked about the guy. It was an older man, 48-year-old man, who stood really close to a high school girl. I think it was on a train or a bus, and he sniffed her hair. Now, he's invoking the I didn't touch you, is it, am I bugging you, I didn't touch you rule, which is universal, I think. But clearly he's causing distress to another human. That in itself is possibly a crime, but it's therefore very difficult to define. He didn't touch anyone. He didn't actually do anything. You could say, I was on a really crowded train. I didn't have a choice. I was just breathing and I happened to smell her hair. Maybe I took a deep sniff because it smelled good. Have I committed harassment? Well, that's again, we get into a difficult issue of was it intentional or not? There was an anonymous tip. So someone else, not the high school girl, actually called the police and said, like, this guy is on the train, he's on the bus, he's sniffing girls' hair. It's really gross. Please tell him to stop. The police stop him and give him a warning. And I think for the same sort of reasoning I'm using, like, we don't actually have anything we can prove. He hasn't touched anyone. He hasn't actually done anything that we can actually like call him out on. But if we warn him and he does it again, then it's intentional. Then it's something we can arrest him for. So they gave him a warning. He was a repeat offender and he was arrested and given a 400,000 yen fine. When he was arrested, he said, "The smell excites me more than physical contact." He didn't think it was a crime. The problem there is that he was issued a warning by the police. So once the police come to you and say, like, "Hey, here's something we've seen you do or we know you are doing. We want you to stop that because it is a crime if you continue to do it." And then you do it again, then you do know it's a crime. So that's just up straight up bullshit that he's saying there. But what are touchless harassment crimes? So this is good to have some definitions. This was the part that I actually kind of was excited about, not in the same way he was. It includes blowing on the victim on their neck and ears. I don't like that they specified. I think if you blow on a victim anywhere, like if you had your hand out and I just went on your hand, I think that's just as bad as blowing on your neck or ears. But I think maybe just neck or ears are being specific about what would be the most common things that happen. Sniffing the hair, as we've seen, is now illegal. Staring at someone too intently could be considered harassment. Sending inappropriate images via AirDrop. So we're on the train and I have a phone. I'm sure Android has a similar system. You do an AirDrop. It's a personal image of a phallic nature. That is harassment. I think that's absolutely fair. Whispering obscene words into someone's ear. But that, again, saying it's obscene. I think if I was just up close to your ear and just whispering stuff, even if it wasn't necessarily obscene, I would still call that harassment. If I was like, "Hey, you look really good today. I think you look really, you know, you have very lovely braid in your hair today." Something like that. It's not necessarily obscene. I think my voice is, but the words themselves are not obscene. So there's no reason to take that off the table. That's just as bad as blowing in their ear. If blowing in your ear could be considered a harassment, then whispering in someone's ear when they don't want you to, I think that should also be harassment, regardless of what they say. They did a survey of university students and 1 in 5 women say they have experienced touchless harassment. But in most cases, because there's nothing they can really prove because it's touchless, they don't bother to report it. So this is one of those crimes that's probably very, very common, but actually no one knows about it because it doesn't get reported because they just kind of suck it up and move on, which is terrible. The authorities recommend if something like this starts happening to you that you start taking video, which is very interesting because a lot of places are like, you can't take video, but this is probably happening on the train, which is a public place. But there is a rule in Japan, you're not really allowed to video people without their consent, but if he's committing a crime, you're allowed to video him. So the authorities are granting you the ability to video someone who is in the process of committing harassment towards you. I think that's a good thing for women out there to know. If you come to Japan and you experience something like this, the authorities have said it is acceptable for you to video that person so that you can catch them later and get them in trouble. In Hong Kong, police made 35 arrests in an international prostitution ring, which is very interesting because you have Japan, Singapore, and Macau all work together to try to catch these prostitutes who are going internationally from country to country servicing fans. And I say fans specifically because a lot of them were actual AV stars, porn stars from Japan. So these women, they get into the porn, they gain a little popularity, and they can actually make more money going overseas, going to where fans are and prostituting themselves to fans. In 2018, a 19-year-old Miru began her porn career. In 2019, she won Best New AV Actress. This prostitution ring mainly focused on Japanese AV stars and making them available to fans. It cost 150,000 Hong Kong dollars for one session with one of these porn stars. That is 3 million yen, which 3 million yen right now at the exchange rate is $20,000. That is $20,000 for one evening with a former Japanese porn star to satisfy your desires. And then we get back into the money thing. It's not having like, I don't want to have sex with a porn star, but man, I would love to have $20,000 I could just throw away. It does bring up a very interesting question of how much would you pay to have sex with that person? So a famous, let's just like not worry about porn stars or whatever, but to have sex with the person of your dreams, how much money would you be willing to put forward to do that? Would be a very interesting question because I don't have a lot of money. I don't think I would value a sexual event that much that I would actually spend that much money on it. The group used Telegram to communicate, and last year they may have made, so they haven't confirmed this, 400 million yen. Ayaka Nishimura was also arrested. She actually disappeared from the AV scene back in 2022. So she was a porn star. She was a porn star until 2022. She just stopped suddenly, and then she seems to have gotten involved in this international prostitution ring. So since people are willing to spend so much money, now I want to know, would anyone spend any money to No. No one wants to spend any money to have sex with someone who posts a podcast. That's just a given. There is a company in France that ranks romantic and sexual happiness in different countries. So Japan is on this list. They did 31 countries were surveyed. They did an online survey of 24,269. Nice. People from 31 countries. It's weird. It's an odd number because it's supposed to be about partners. So it should be an even number. I just noticed that now. Maybe one has broken up since then. Maybe they were dating and they didn't. They only interviewed one of the partners, not the other one. But that seems unfair. You should get both sides. Japan ranked lowest in among all 31 countries surveyed in basically everything. It measures, are you satisfied with your love life, your romance, your sex life? Do you feel loved and are you satisfied with your partner? So when it came to sex, this was the one, of course, I was most interested in. Are you satisfied with your sex life? India and Mexico had the highest ranking at 76%. That are two cultures would enjoy spicy food. So I think I see something there that maybe introduced a little more spice into my food, maybe introduce a little more spice into my life. Japan ranked at 37%. Are you satisfied with your partner or spouse? Japan has moved up one place and is now second last over South Korea. South Koreans are now the least satisfied with their partners in their love lives. And yet, Japan is producing the most sought after porn stars that people are willing to spend $20,000 to spend an evening with. A man broke into a woman's apartment 40 times looking for her underwear. I don't like the way they phrase that because he found her underwear. It sounded, when I read the article's title, it sounded like he was breaking in again and again and looking for her underwear and couldn't find it. Like she was hiding it somewhere or it was like some kind of really difficult to open chest of drawers or something. But he just broke in 40 times and he would look at her underwear. He didn't actually steal it. So maybe that's what it is. Looked at her underwear is maybe the phrase they actually wanted to use. A 55-year-old man broke into his subordinate's home, a woman in her 30s. What had happened is at work, he took the key from her bag. He made a copy back in July. And then since July has gone into her apartment 40 times to look at her underwear. He took photos of her underwear and he installed mini cameras around her home. He was caught taking videos at a game center, which would imply that he was taking images of younger people. And then when the police searched his phone, they found the underwear videos and pictures on his phone. He admitted, I did go into her apartment because I liked looking at her underwear, but I never planned to steal anything. I had feelings for her. But my man, if you had feelings for her, you shouldn't have been stepping out to take voyeuristic videos of other people. So the fact that you're in a game center taking these videos of other people knows that you don't really have feelings for her. You're not a loyal man. You're not dedicated to one cause. You're just out there throwing it around. So I don't even believe this loyalty aspect you're throwing out there. I don't think you have feelings for her. I think you just have feelings for yourself. And those are the ones you're trying to satisfy. And so that should be added as an extra crime to the police. Not only is he a creep taking pictures of underwear, not only is he a creep taking upskirt photos or whatever he was doing in the game center, he is also not loyal. And that should be a crime in itself.